Hello everyone, my name is Adriana Kohler. I'm here representing the University of Évora in Portugal, although I am from Brazil and work here as a clinician in the hospital dealing with substance abuse that has a huge population of elderly. I'm here to share some partial results. It's entitled Social Representation of Elderly Violence. That's the name of our research.
I think you can do it because you can click on the right click.
Can I?
The left click.
No. Thank you. Let's try there. That's better.
There you go.
So it's a cross-cultural investigation. It's a qualitative study. We decide to take the law of parsimony and go in an easy way, keep it simple, and asking elderly individuals, health professionals that work with elderly individuals, and family members of elderly individuals about elderly violence. The results have been analyzed using the framework of theory of social representation, which is very popular in social psychology. I don't know how many of you are in that field, but allow me to try to explain and give you a background of this theory. Any familiarity with this drawing? Do you guys remember this? It's from Little Prince, from Saint-Exupéry, and almost all of us read or heard about the book. Allow me to remind you that in the book, a child goes to a group of adults, and with this drawing, asking them if they are frightened by this drawing. The adults look at that and say, why can we be frightened by a hat? And the boy looks at the drawing again and say, I didn't draw a hat. You know, my intention was to draw a giant snake devoting a elephant. And he left that group of adults very frustrating, saying they, the grown-ups, always need to have things explained to them. So that's our nature. And I found that explains actually in general what social representation is. We have the need of understanding what different aspects of our life and the phenomena that happens with all of us, with the perspective of understanding the basic of what is going on, the interactions of factors, the beliefs, the values, and with that I will leave you with a definition of social representation as everything that is organizing around a figurative kernel that condenses all the images, notions, and judgments that a group or society has generated over time. It's a very popular in Europe and South America, but not so well known here in the United States. Explores the social reality of a phenomenon considering their interdependence and dynamics. So if we talk about elderly violence or violence in general, we could not understand that phenomenon without, you know, having in consideration that interdependence and dynamic. The concepts are relational, presupposing interactions among social phenomena and their constituents. So for us, in our case, we interviewed so far, that's what I have it here. It's over 100 individuals, but so far I'm presenting the partial results involving 48 in Portugal and USA. So we interviewed 16 elderly individuals from independent, they live independently and some co-dependent environment. Family members of not 100% related to the elderly that we interviewed, but family members of elderly individuals, and health professionals, 16, that work with them. So besides the general social demographic data, we ask a very simple question. What do you think when I mention the words elderly violence? That was the only question we asked. It was an open interview, and you can only imagine the amount of information that we had on the speeches that those individuals gave to us. Again, with that huge amount of text and information gathered, we chose Alcesti, which is another software that's very utilized in Europe, with extremely utilized with qualitative research, actually. And what it does, it examines the corpus of the textual, the lexical correspondence between the words, and decodified for us which group of words are more utilized, pointing out to what people understand by the topic that was researched. So we had 71% of the elementary contest units in an overall corpus count of almost 20,000 words, which is a lot to analyze. So I have work to do. You showed us a cluster of five categories or five classes. The class one relates to the action. So for them, it was something related to hurt, to kill, to cause pain. Class two, it was associated with determinants of elderly violence. The class three, you can see by the graphic, you know, the percentage of it. I didn't want to bring it, explain more than what the graphic showed, but I think we can summarize here. So the class three associates with the lack of something, so the lack of attention, the abandonment, it's in that category. The class four associates with distribution of elderly violence, and you guys will see by the results that it's slightly over women than men. And the class five, it was a class that they spoke about prevention, what could be done to prevent either at home when they are independent, as well as they belong to a certain institution. So the results of elderly violence was perceived by, actually, I'm sorry, the results point that elderly violence was perceived by the participants as a negative event, something bad or evil that makes people sad. So no surprise there. The word negligence appeared to have a dubious meaning, same as violent, but also as something difficult to explain. So for us, it's still, with so much that's been discussed and talked about violence and elderly violence, we are still in a very crawling stages of understanding what the terms and concepts that we are so worried about explaining and defining is. Two classical forms of violence appeared in the study, more physical than and psychological than any other type of violence. Family were identified as the main perpetrator, followed by workers from institutions that care for the elderly. And economic as well as personality issues were common explanations for the existence of violence. You also would see that the results pointed to evil minds or people with bad attitudes, and it was very linked with the fact that in Portugal, for example, we have religion as a very powerful and present in their lives. So the notion of evil and good and bad are present as well. So I broke down in the categories the three perspectives, the three different perspectives that we try. So elderly violence by seen by the elderly individual, it's a continuing event. It didn't start when they became elderly, but it continued through the life. So personal stories and experiences are very rich in that sense in the speech. Affects more women than men. And the psychological violence slight over physical violence. And as we can imagine by the difficulty that we have defining what psychological violence could be, it's a huge amount of things that can be defined as psychological violence. Elderly violence by health professionals, so far it points to a common thing. So it happens. They don't deny that. It's challenged because they don't know what to do to prevent it. Justified in some cases with the fact that some elderly individuals are very hard to care for. Intentional when it comes from another patient or another elderly individual. They know what they're doing, so it's intentional. And contextual, they explain in the context. It's because of, they, you know, it varies in a sense of it justified why it happened. It's identified as physical, psychological, and the abandonment. It happens there when they actually refer to lack of family visitations, for example. By family members, it's something that it's unclear. They don't know how to define, because some of the violent situations that they experience could be just a result of a normal family struggle. So in that sense, it's an unclear difference between what it's abuse and what it can be seen as just a normal family struggle that's, it's going to go away. It doesn't stays there for a long time. Resulted by the stress and resentment caused by dependency. That is something that obviously goes with the literature that has been revealed. So in conclusion, the elderly violence is associated with any type of abuse, mistreatment, or negligence. Attitude of acceptance for elderly violence in Portugal, it's a slightly over what we found here in the United States. It could be due to the cultural difference, the religion part of it, and the lack of group cohesion that here in the United States we have so much more cohesed. Lack of support care for caregivers, which they are not as well as organized as we are here in the United States with associations. And they have associations, but more to promote the social, the socialization of, but not to prevent. Working and having all this study being almost, when I was looking into this, I thought, well, knowing about something, I can't be any more effective or less effective if I don't learn how to use this material in my intervention, in my at my work. So what we did so far is that the social representation of elderly violence, it's a base of any task of assistance. If I don't know what they understand by what I'm studying, I cannot propose any type of intervention. I have to explore as many answers as the existent questions, because every situation and every case, it's a unique case. We have to consider the efficiency of the approach. So it's sometimes one will work better than the other, so we have this, you know, huge book that we have to stop and say, hold on, I didn't read that chapter yet, so, but let me give, you know, give me 10 or 5 minutes, let me get familiar with and find out something that would be effective in this approach. And our commitment as not just people that will treat a problem in public health, but our commitment with our role as educators. So commitment with communication. And with that, I will leave you guys with this little say of George Bernard Shaw, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. So our job is far, far from, you know, ending, but all what we can do is to try, right? So thank you.